Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Catherine, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat as a steward. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I will tell you, it's very fun because as we speak, another group of lovely folks who have come from all corners of around the world are here to participate in another There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So I know all listening to us have this conversation. So it's very fun.
So they can know what the stewards are up to.
Exactly. Because, you know, in the retreat, we often think of the retreat as we're sitting in the meditation hall and we're having groups and that incredibly transformative work that happens in the course of a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And in order for it to happen, there are quite a few vegetables that need to get chopped, right? And toilets that need to be scrubbed and porches that need to be swept and all those things. So in addition to people flying in from all over to be part of the retreat in the meditation hall, there are also folks such as yourself who fly in to be those people who do the dishes and chop the veggies and scrub the toilets and sweep the porches. And so we just thought it would be really fun to hear from someone about their experience of participating in that way.
Yeah. So should I just jump in?
Jump in.
Okay. Well, I just love the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And I really, when I had, there was the opportunity to actually be part of it, part of the support for the retreat, I signed up. I was really looking forward to it. And it was probably one of the most important awareness practice experiences I've had in my life. I went hoping that I can help, that I could help, that I could be a support. And I was there maybe 24 hours, and ego just really didn't want me there. And was really raging about how awful I am, and I'm not really helping, and I'm slow, and I'm inside with my outdoor shoes, and I'm outside with my indoor shoes, and I'm just totally.
May I say, Catherine, just in terms of translating for folks who, as we say, are on retreat right now. In other words, those self-hating voices cannot stand for you to be doing something that is so clearly of service and of service to transformation. And so they're in there. We were just talking about this on the retreat today, that something like that is really going to rile up the voices. And so it sounds like they came at you with everything they had.
Oh, they wanted me out of there. I mean, it was, and so I was just aware of that, and then there was there was this whole, I went into survival mode, which is I got identified, and I went into survival mode of, okay, it's just a few days. I can make it a few days. I can come in here, and I can chop this lettuce, and I can just make it. And then something would happen that would mirror my lack of mindfulness, which is really a gift. So,
like the shoes thing, like you said, oh, look at me, here I am.
Or,
we always say, I have my galoshes on in the dining hall.
Right. And what all that, the big gift for me in that was seeing what the voices of self-hate do to me all the time. And it was just so obvious at the monastery.
Yeah.
It's just the whole structure of the monastery and the retreat and the privileged environment and how we interact with each other and what we're doing, all of that just brings it back to, this is just all going on in your head. And none of it is real, and it hates you.
Yes.
And it's doing this to you. And it was just really helpful.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like a very powerful disidentification in the course of
it that happened. There was so, here's the thing about any retreat, but especially a retreat at the monastery. When I was going through all of this and I was identified and in and out of being identified and wishing I hadn't come and projecting that everybody I was working with wished that it would be somebody else and not me and all of that was going on, that I was met with compassion and kindness from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
respect for the privileged environment, respect for my awareness practice. It just, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the monastery is. And
mm-hmm.
so it would just, that made it really obvious who mm-hmm. was, you know, who was lying. Ego, you know, was lying.
Exactly so. And that given that, so you get it, that these things are being projected. They think this about me and they think that. So those are projections, and you see that. And then that kindness, that compassion that you're projecting, you're receiving, is also.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that today, that that's coming from inside of Catherine. And then when we're practicing together in this way, it's, again, why you just mentioned the privileged environment, why it's so powerful, because in order to transcend all of this, this hateful conversation that's happening in our head, we have to be able to really see it and see that it's
mm-hmm.
happening and to see the impact of it. And it sounds
mm-hmm.
like you got a really firsthand look at that. And then we get to move into compassion and kindness and realize, I don't have to do that. I don't have to live my life that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those are the moments of just, I had some times, periods, work periods of just feeling like I was in the best place ever and I'm having the greatest life experience anyone could ever have.
Yes.
You know, I would have those periods of freedom.
Yes.
And
exactly.
After seeing that.
Yes, exactly. And what's so amazing about that, I love it. This is my favorite thing when I'm in a support role on a retreat is, and I'm scrubbing the toilets and I'm sweeping
mm-hmm.
the porches and I'm doing a lot
mm-hmm.
of dishes. And this is supposed to be, I don't like this. I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is not fun. Because those are all the chores, right, of life. And
mm-hmm.
and yet, to realize I can be absolutely blissfully happy when I'm present,
mm-hmm.
no matter what I'm doing. And to realize, I mean, I think that's the thing that's extraordinary about the monastery that people really, really get, is that everything that is going on here is awareness practice, is the process
mm-hmm.
of transformation. Whether you're doing the dishes, chopping the veggies, you're in the meditation hall, you're participating in the retreat, you're facilitating, you're driving to the folks to the airport, whatever, it's all awareness practice. And
mm-hmm.
there's something very, very powerful about how unconditional it is with everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. And I'd started off the week with, just get through a few days. I know I can do this. I can survive this. And then I'll go home and I'll never chop another, you know, anything, you know, what I just wanted. And
I'll throw all my knives away. And right.
Right. Right. And by the end of the week, it was, wow, I wonder if I can sign up to do the October retreat. I wonder
exactly.
if they need a steward for that. It was transformative. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fell in the middle of this and became injured and not terribly seriously, but enough that I had to, that the guidance was to rest. So for 2 days, I really did very little but rest. And it was like, okay, this, I mean, conditioning wanted to go to town on that. Like, boy, you're really not a help. You're a hindrance. But again, I was met with such kindness and compassion. And awareness practice is receive the guidance, follow the guidance, The guidance was to rest. I rested. I ended up listening to hours of recordings, and that was just transformational just all by itself. So it was like the gifts were everywhere.
Catherine, there are so many quotes that are coming to my mind, and I'm terrible with quoting things directly, so I'm just going to paraphrase and say what I get from these quotes, which is exactly what I project you're pointing at, which is whatever I'm doing, whatever role life is putting me in, just do it, you know, with excellence, with my whole heart, with pure presence. And that was, on those 2 days, that was your role, is to rest and to do that with mastery, right? To just give it everything you've got.
Right.
It's just such a, it's such a beautiful thing. Because life, I mean, conditioning would have things be sort of in a hierarchy. This is important. This isn't important. This is a good. This is bad. You're a But that's not true. That whatever life is calling me to in this moment, to just give myself fully to that is such a gift.
Yeah, I'm just so glad I was there, and I can't wait to do it again.
Well, and I'll tell you what, we are so glad you are here too, because I can promise you there is no, as you know, I hope, I always hope the stewards really get this, there's no possible way we could host the lovely people that are here for this retreat without the help of the folks who are doing all those things. It just wouldn't be possible. So, and, you know, again, without the lovely folks who are joining us on retreat, we wouldn't have the great pleasure of supporting a retreat. And without, I mean, so it just, it's back to the,
I know.
We're each playing a role, and it's such a win all the way around.
It takes all of us. And, you know, being around the people who were doing the retreat, the participants, was very supportive too. Just knowing, oh, they're there and they're doing that wonderful, awesome work, and I've done that retreat, and wow, and it was like a blessing being around the workshop.
Exactly.
You know?
The courage, the sincerity, the Well, deep, deep gratitude for your participation, and thank you for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Well, thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Catherine.
Okay.
Take good care. Okay.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Well, wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Catherine. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm grinning so hard. I swear that I was going to hurt myself. That was just so wonderful, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fabulous.
Oh,
it was great.
It's like being there. You know, it's like being there and playing all those roles and being all those people. And oh, it was great. I loved it. And I particularly loved, of course, I knew Catherine got hurt, and she was playing the, you know, her role for those 2 days was resting, and just what a spiritual opportunity it is to approach that the way Jen described, you know. Okay, here you go. You know, you've been chopping vegetables and washing dishes, and given that your all, now you're going to give your all to resting. All right, here you go. And that's what we do. Whatever it is, we just say yes and give it everything we've got. And just no happier way to live.
Yes, yes. And the other thing that I was getting from that conversation is when I'm practicing, you know, particularly at the monastery, when I'm met by kindness at every turn, in every situation, it's just harder. It's just literally harder to stay identified when there's so much support in every direction.
Yeah, and that place that, at least I took from what they were both saying, you know, inside my head is all that, oh, they hate me. You know, they wish I'd never come. They know that, blah, blah, whatever the voices are saying. And somebody's just so kind. And it's like, I don't think they heard what was in my head. They don't seem to know what a a miserable loser I am.
Yeah.
So it just gets clearer and clearer, as was pointed out, that all that negativity is going on inside my head. It's not anywhere else.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I have announcements here.
All right.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat provides an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. A retreat is coming up August 3rd through August 10th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Mm-hmm.
Two new virtual group coaching classes will be offered this summer. Mornings with the Mentor starts August 7th, and Compassionate Eating begins August 14th. These four-week sessions will use weekly calls and email check-ins to provide support and inspiration. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at an at-home working meditation retreat on August 24th. This day, exercises, facilitated virtual discussions, mindful eating, and designated work periods.
So fun.
And
be at the monastery at home, right?
Yes.
Like being at the monastery on New Year's.
Be at the monastery at home. Yes.
Yeah.
With the schedule and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Family Karma Retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania is not an exploration of childhood trauma or family dynamics from a content perspective, but rather an investigation of the ego, of the story of me. Through this exploration, we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today, and we'll practice the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control. This retreat, September 2nd through 7th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And for
and
these,
food and a pretty place.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length on one topic is really helpful.
All right.
Okay, I think we're ready, Sherry.
I think we're ready. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, you're welcome. Here we go.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff calling from Iowa.
Well, hello, hey, Jeff. How goes
hello,
it in
is...
Iowa?
It goes very well, Sherry.
Good.
I thought I would call to check in just let
Give
you know
us an
I'm
update.
Still out here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, no, I got a job about a month ago, so I haven't been able to call into the year-long retreat. But it's been a blessing to be back to work and relying on all the things I've been learning. And just want to tell you that it's all been a real lifeline to have all of the classes, the radio shows and things like that.
Well, so I was playing a minute ago about being at the monastery at home for the at-home retreat, and that's what you're doing, right? Now you're applying all of that monastery practice to being out in the world and using the supports that you know are there for you, the ways to connect with Sangha, to keep in the front of conscious awareness that this is what I'm doing. I'm doing awareness practice, right? Some people call it going to work. but I'm doing awareness practice, right? I'm doing it at home, and then I'm doing it on the way to work, and then I'm doing it at work. And, Yeah.
It becomes a real lifestyle, and I didn't really know what I was going to talk about today, but I'll bring up one thing today that I struggle with when one of my new, well, in my new job, one of the things I have to do, I'm working with a certain population that is a lot has ends up in the hospital a lot or the psych ward, and so I have to go to this large university medical center with large parking ramps and lots of, I've always been a little uncomfortable in kind of medical kind of situations. So I notice that I kind of zoom out of my body once I get into there, which is a very terrible thing to have because I have in my care a person that's not that mentally stable, so I have to be.
Right. Who's counting on you, right?
Yeah, they're counting on
unless
me.
Unless you can find a third person to take care of both of you, you're it.
Yeah. I can't be getting lost in the parking ramp, at least very long, or things don't work well. But I try to breathe and feel my feet and that sort of thing, but I just wondered if you had any other guidance tips for me when
situations. Is that person with you, Jeff, at that point, or are you going to meet that person?
No, I'm transporting them there and taking them to their appointment. Yeah.
Okay. And so having an earbud in is probably not a possibility, or would it be?
Probably not, because I have to pay pretty close attention to them as
well.
I
ask you to experiment with this when you don't have anybody else with you, okay? And that is to just make the recording that is reassuring of all you need to know and remember under those circumstances, okay? So it could be as simple as, it's okay, just breathe, everything's fine, you're doing great, where are your feet? Good, feeling the breath. Yeah, right here. It's good. I'm with you. You're doing great. And you know, whatever would work for you that would be similar to that. And you just put that on loop. You know, make it as long as you can. Make it a 10-minute recording or 20 minutes if you can. And then just put in one earbud and turn it down so that it's just playing as background. Okay? It's not keeping you from having attention on anything around you. You know, it's an expanded awareness moment, and all that's doing is soothing the system so that attention doesn't go to the voices of, oh God, oh God, here we go, oh no. And of course the voices probably aren't saying that, but those can be the sensations that mean that. And so the soothing will be a counterpoint to that. Or before long, it's what you will look to for direction rather than letting conditioning interpret those sensations in a way that mean you need to freak out now.
Okay, that sounds really good.
Yeah, just try it when you're, you know, wherever you're going to the grocery store, you're, you know, whatever you're doing, and get used to having that as part of your expanded awareness and feel the soothing nature of it. And in fact, Jeff, one of the things we did on the morning show, I don't know if you listen to recordings of the morning show,
I do.
Okay. Well, the one where I was encouraging people just to say the words, say, so you're making a recording and you say, peace. You say peace.
Oh,
and then
you get
that one, you give a pause, and then relaxation. And then there's a pause, ease. And so, again, as many words as you can come up with that include things like kindness, gentleness, and say those in such a way that then you can hear it in your ears. You can repeat it inside your head. You can repeat it out loud if you're by yourself. And feel it reverberate in your body. And feel how that, again, soothes and calms the system. So that could be another good one to use in that same way. It's almost it's not subliminal, but it's close.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know what it's like? It's like having a baby, and the baby is fussy or having trouble going to sleep, and you're just kind of making noises that are comforting.
Yeah.
And soothing, right?
Yeah,
and it's
not
the content of it isn't important. It's what happens with the nervous system with those soothing sounds. And that's what you're going to be offering your system.
Oh, I think that's great. I can feel a little calmer just hearing that, having that strategy to go into that environment with. So
So there you've got soothing little project for this evening before you go to bed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Sherry, what dropped in while you were talking is just being regularly involved with practice and engaged and participating and calling in and here's what I'm seeing now and I get some guidance and head off with enthusiasm in that direction. And it's, you know, it's just a great support over and over, that consistent, regular contact.
Yes. And it doesn't actually matter what it is, does it? you know, in the sense that I was so lit up listening to Jen and Catherine talk on Good News, you know, just listening to them talk about their experience and, you know, I'm going to that experience in the same way that we were just talking about with that little exercise. And it just feels great. So, you know, we've got what now, Michael? 13, 14 years of us doing this every Tuesday afternoon.
It's more like people, 18.
Is that so? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You really were a child. When people talk about listening to the archives, and just, you know, just putting in those earbuds and listening to Sangha talk about practice. And it's just, it just brings us back here. It's soothing. It's comforting. It's hopeful. It's the world we want our attention to be on.
That's for sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And we have another call now.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from San Diego. I'm grinning ear to ear.
Laura.
That happens to us, doesn't it?
It does. You may now ask your question. I love that.
Ooh, I'm not sure I have one, but here we go anyway.
Exactly. So I'm really blessed because I normally work Tuesday nights, and I had a cancellation, and it just dropped in to ask my 5 o'clock client if they would be open to moving to 4, and they did. And so I just feel super blessed to be a part of this, and I had nothing like specific other than I feel deeply grateful, and I'm signing up to... I missed the first few minutes of Catherine's, what she was talking about, but I got the gist of it. And I'm just like, sign me up. I want to do that.
You're going to come be a steward.
I'm going to come be a steward, absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
There are many ways to be on retreat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have been practicing with that suggested exercise of say the word, leave a space, and kind of in two ways. I've been practicing it on a just sit, listen to the recording, close my eyes, and let myself go to that experience in my body, and then watching how the mind, right, conditioned mind wants to just go out. It's kind of like meditation, like it wants to take me off into planning or worry or prepping or, you know, all
anywhere
of that.
Anywhere but here, anywhere but that soothing, calming, centering stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do it with a lot of recordings. I sleep to recordings almost every night. A lot of times it's the radio show. But then I just sometimes will just put the earbuds in and I walk around. And so I've been doing that. I'm not really aware of the recording, but all of a sudden I'll stop and be like, oh, peace, yeah, uh-huh. And just having that in the background. And I love listening to archives and the radio shows. Those are amazing. And there's something about stepping into that presence of the wisdom that animates this being coming through this voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making your own recordings so that because it really is true that the only person on this planet that we really trust is ourselves.
Okay.
And that's why it's so awful when people are caught in self-hate, right? Because it seems like I'm hearing these awful messages from myself about myself. But when we start doing recording and listening, we realize, aha, no, that negativity in the head, those self-hating messages, I'm not saying those. I'm listening to those. And now I'm going to replace those with the real story, which is the truth about the human being. And boy, once that happens, that, again, that's the world we want to live in. Because it's real. Because it's the real world.
Right. And, you know, when you said that phrase about we're the ones we only trust, now, like I feel like when I first, came to practice, many, many years ago, that wasn't my experience.
No.
And it was that, no, I can.
How could it be? I mean, you're hearing these horrible things about yourself.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're saying them.
Yep. Yep. And when recording and listening came onto the playing field, it opened up a whole new window into, like, self-hate had been hiding, right? And when I started recording and listening, it actually felt awful in the beginning because it brought up all the shame that I didn't know was still there. But sticking with it and, it's still the place where resistance will kick in. It's amazing to me how much I love recording and listening and how easily I'll get talked out of it for a few days. And I'll be like, oh, my God, I haven't picked up the that's crazy to me. Yet it's not, because we know it's the quickest way to compassion and unconditional love.
Right, right, right. And as you've heard me say countless times, I have never run into anything that brought about this level of resistance in people. It is just staggering.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that very reason, because it's a death knell for no.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. It means sudden death for those self-hating voices.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just deeply grateful to participate, to be here, and
don't you love it that even though you're not available on Tuesday afternoon evenings, as soon as there was an opening, it dropped in. Open air. I could call it open air. There. Yep. That's what we're going for. That's the guidance we're looking for. I could do something. I could do something for myself.
Yep.
I could do something.
Take it all
in. Yeah, I could do something that takes care of the human being. That's what I'm going to do.
Deeply grateful. Thank you to
me
you
too.
All.
Thank you, Laura. Go happy.
Bye. Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Angela.
Hello, Angela.
Hi. Wow, I can't believe I got on. Amazing.
Here we are.
I'm nervous.
Heart pounding. Feeling really alive. Heart pounding. Feeling really alive.
Yeah, well, so I was at the weekends at the weekends at the monastery retreat back in May, and of course it was amazing, very, very challenging on different levels, but of course by the time I left I was crying in gratitude and just, I feel like it really deepened my practice. It took it to another level, I think, where I wasn't at before, and I just committed even more to doing the recording and listening. And so I've been doing that, but it was a hard transition going back into just, you know, my work and my kids and keeping up with everything. And it was pretty tough for a while, but then I accepted, okay, my life is not like the life at the monastery, and I need to accept that. I can't, like, just go and live there and be there forever.
Or send the kids there.
That would be nice. Yeah, or I thought about like all of us moving there, like somewhere on the property. That would be amazing. I would love that. So, but what's happening for me is that I'll have periods of time where I'm like, okay, and I'm just filled with the peace and the joy, and I can see things clearly, and I feel free, and you know, in the good place, or I should say, the feel good place. But then I'll go through these periods of I'll just get overwhelmed and exhausted, and I'm looking at things to try to decrease that overwhelm, like lightening my workload and things like that. But in those times, I'll do the recording and listening. I'll do it every day, once in the morning, once at night. But it doesn't, there's like a feeling state that just sticks in my body when I'm in those periods of exhaustion or somewhat like, kind of like depression, or just, I just felt like overwhelm, and I become totally depleted and very irritable. And it's, even though I could see things kind of clearly in my thinking, that feeling tone sticks in my body, and it's really hard for that part to move through. Like, that sticks around much, it's harder for that to pass through.
So, Angela, let me ask you this. How often does it happen to you? Do you have a sense of the cycle?
Well, I've been noticing, so I just had that for, like, about 2 to 3 days, and today I feel much better, so that deep kind of exhaustion, irritability, can't get off the couch thing. It's lifted today, and I had that same thing about 2 weeks ago. So I haven't noticed enough to see like how predictable the cycles are. But I also notice, you know, I'm like a highly sensitive person. I'm an introvert. I'm a number 4 on the Enneagram. So I feel things very strongly around me, especially if there's like negative energy or interactions with people.
Given that we're all people, that sort of thing does happen. Kind of unavoidable, right? Because we're not the only ones who get identified, right? Everybody does. And so we just kind of start pinging off of one another like those slot machine things. Slot machines. You know, pinball machines. Boy,
yeah,
I'm having trouble with the words today. What is it? Now, this will probably sound completely crazy, but I'm going to ask you to consider it anyway, okay? I was really nodding along there with you because I have exactly the same thing that goes on. I don't know if you, have you ever heard me talk about the Huber cure?
Remember the term, but I can't remember exactly what it is.
All right. Well, here's my theory about how things work. That if when people have the first sign of, I think I could be coming down with something, they would just drop everything and go to bed. Okay,
yes.
Go to bed.
Right.
Don't even, for the first 12 hours, don't even listen to recordings. Just go to bed. Just lie there. Go to sleep. And things pass through very, very quickly. So I have these periods that I actually keep track of, and I call them puny. And they're very much like what you describe. You know, I'm just suddenly completely exhausted. I can just barely get up out of the chair. Now, when I used to suffer from depression, that was one of the big symptoms that I lost my ability to move. And so it's not, there's not that mental component to it, but there is the physical component. And so, and so what I do, I go to bed. As soon as I realize there's that, the head gets really heavy, and I think, oh, God. Okay, I'm puny. I'm going to bed. And I have it down now to about 12 hours. Because at whatever time it happens during the day, I go to bed and then sleep through the night, and usually the next morning I'm fine. And I would just offer that to you. Because what conditioned mind wants us to do is come up with a plan to change our lives so that this doesn't happen. But you have a family, you work, and you're not going to be able to change your life a whole lot right now. And so trying to push through when that happens can feel I don't know what word you would use, but yes, a person gets irritable because you're trapped. You know, you don't feel well. You feel like you can't do this, and yet you have to, and all of that sort of thing. So if you would just try it for the next few times that happens to you and see if what you begin to realize is that it is temporary. It's just that your system has just hit I can't do this. And it's not, I can't do this in the big picture. I just can't do this right now. I just really need to rest. I need to have the stress taken away and the burden set aside, and I just need to rest and let the body heal, and then I'll be happy to take this up again.
Right. Well, it's really helpful to hear you say that, because one of the things I do, along with what can I change in my life, is I say, okay, I obviously must be doing something wrong in my practice. I'm not getting it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be feeling like this. So that starts to happen.
Yeah, which is the pylon, right? Self-hate sees an opening, and all right, you go in for the kill.
Right. And I really start to believe that one. I'm like, okay, you know, you know, because I'll listen to the open air show, I'll listen to talks, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not me right now. I'm not in that space of feeling connected and, you know, connected to life intelligence. And I'm like, I'm just feeling like crap. I'm irritable. I hate everything, you know. Yeah. So it's like there's this judgment of, well, this can't, you know, I must be doing something wrong.
That's right. And so instead of in that, back to good news when we were talking with Catherine, instead you feel like crap. Okay, what you really need is somebody to take care of you. You need somebody to say, it's okay, lie down. You know, just rest. It's all right. You're fine. You're not doing anything wrong. People just get tired sometimes. It's okay to feel the way you're feeling. And if we don't have that, then it's an easy opening for ego to come in and hate everybody else and blame people because they ought to be helping and they're not, because they're trying to survive themselves. See, that's how that works. And so then as soon as you're irritable, then the self-hate just throws the doors wide open and comes after you. So just turn into that compassionate awareness that's going to be kind and accepting and loving of her, take care of her, and just see what happens. Try it two or three, you know, for your next two or three episodes. Keep track of them. Keep mark it on the calendar, and then let me know how that goes. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll do that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Michael as well.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Angela. Sherry, I appreciated that encouragement to put ourselves first. And what I get from that is when I take care of myself, then I'm available to assist and take care with anyone else.
That's exactly it. It's just the opposite of all of our conditioning. And because our conditioning says, well, that's really selfish. You've got to sacrifice yourself and take care of everybody. And that's just horse pucky. It just doesn't work.
Yes, exactly. And Carrie, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy from San Francisco.
Hello, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hello, hello. I'm doing the cue practice.
Oh,
Cue. Just getting in the queue, not having anything prepared, enjoying
just attention. Just seeing what happens.
Yes. Can I talk about what I saw in the morning in the other retreat? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
So let me just give a background for anybody who doesn't know. So this is the year-long retreat. Right, where we go through a topic, one month per topic, and we've gone through self-care, sexuality, finances, and money. Now, finances and money, those are the same. Relationship, and right now we're on play.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
So there was a story about finding something to work on, about play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like putting effort and striving. And then after doing several days of the exercise, I saw something that was really interesting. Play as living unencumbered by the voices.
Ooh, play as living unencumbered by the voices. Uh-huh. That's a good one, huh?
So not striving to try to, pick something like, oh, should I go get a coloring book or do I need to go learn to skateboard? No.
Uh-huh.
Living unencumbered,
So
freedom.
Just enjoying whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And being fully there for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm sure we must talk about this, but that's what it's like as a child, right?
Right.
It's just whatever is there is the thing to do and be with. It's not, but boy, it'd be great if I could skateboard. No, it's just... Mm-hmm. Here's this dirt.
Here are these sticks, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a swing, or they just wander, right? They just wander from thing to thing, and
Yeah, whatever the senses take in, taking it in, being fully there, enjoying it. You see a bird, you see a flower, and they are fairly non-discriminating, whatever form that would be, because rocks and sticks are as fascinating as anything else, and they are when we're present to them.
Yeah, I remember taking my friend's kids on the bus for the first time. They were just completely enamored with being on the bus, you know, looking around.
Yeah, it's an adventure. And, of course, for us, it's, oh, my God, I have to take the bus. All these people, it's so slow. How can I stand it? And how did that happen to us, right? It's not, nothing happened to the bus. Good. Well, I think that's just a marvelous definition of play and a great approach, right? So then the check-in is, how often during the day can I be present in that way? Checking in. Am I? Am I enjoying this? Is this a playful, enjoying attitude that I'm bringing to this? Because nothing is going to bring that to me. I've got to be the one who brings it.
Nothing brings that to me, yeah. Okay.
Which is a huge thing to get. In practice, right? Most of us somehow manage to get a belief system that life should be easy. It should go the way I want. I should have what I want. And if not, then I'm somehow being punished rather than right? Rather than really getting it that the old, you get out of it what you put into it. That's really true. our life experience will be the experience that we bring to life.
Wow, that's a whole topic for another chat. Love to explore.
All right.
But I remember so you're gonna work on one topic, please.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's get together again before long and talk about that.
Let's do
it. Okay. All right. Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. I'm feeling unencumbered by the voices sharing, so I really appreciated
the party,
that
isn't it?
Conversation. Yes, yes.
Yes.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, is that me?
Well,
hello?
I reckon
yes,
so.
It is.
I guess so. I didn't. I kind of put it got in the queue late, so I didn't really expect to be on. Well, that's good.
Proving that expectations really don't serve us.
That's true. That's very true. Well, I put myself
Who
on the
is
queue
it?
Today. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Right. I'm Kelsey. I've only called in once before.
Yes,
and,
I remember.
I came to another There Is Nothing Wrong with You retreat, and actually I was just registering for the upcoming one.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I think it would be very good to do it again. And I just tend to get very stuck. I have very, very strong patterns or something that...
Sticky patterns?
Very sticky patterns. You know, I've been through just a big upheaval in my life a few years ago that I'm still settling out from. And I just finished summer school, so I have this open time, but that can be dangerous for me because I can end up doing absolutely nothing and just being stuck. And I I was thinking, well, I could start doing virtual meditation group. I thought, you know, just if it, you know, I just made a commitment to myself yesterday to call in today to just, you know, I have tools. The thing is that I just tend not to use them.
Well, you know what, Kelsey, that is a perfect definition of a human being.
That's good. I just it's hard not to get the feeling that you're worse than other people and things like that.
I know. But I don't know if you've been looking around at all, but there are some really bad people in this world. So
the odds are
good that you are not actually worse than other people. And in the realm that we both operate in, you are with a group of people who tend to, before they're disabused of the notion, fall for that. So you surely must be worse than other people, because look at all this crapola in your head, and other people seem to be functioning really well. And that's simply because you can't see the crapola in our head. So that's how that goes.
I think I try to keep that in mind. I think living in our society, if, you know, the patterns you have tend to be depression and not being able to do anything, that feels worse than somebody who's maybe a workaholic. But I do keep telling myself it probably doesn't feel any better to somebody who's a workaholic, their patterns,
that's
than mine
exactly
do to
right.
me.
Suffering is suffering. Yeah.
Suffering is
so
suffering.
People will often do that, like, you know, well, when they know about our project in Africa, you know, well, yeah, but it has to be much worse for them. I mean, they don't have anything. They're living in mud huts. You know, they don't have enough to eat. They have to be suffering. No. We just have to look around our own very privileged culture and realize people can suffer in any circumstance, and people can not suffer in any circumstance. So we get to see
and
that it's really not the circumstance.
That's one of the things the voices will often tell me if something seems to work. And, you know, and if I look at things carefully, it's pretty obvious what's true and what isn't in terms of, you know, like if the voices say, you know, meditating, oh, that's not going to work. Well, it's like, well, I know that's not true. They want to stop me. And it works, and then it's working, but they say, yeah, but if you lived in Syria, it wouldn't work, or, you know, it's almost, I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's the kind of
stuff really
you know, I'm imagining all these really awful situations, like, well, I wouldn't be able to handle that aren't even happening, and it's just the voice
that's
trying to get me to stop doing what I'm doing now.
Or just to pay attention to them, right? That's the main thing. So let's have this conversation, this hypothetical conversation about ridiculous things rather than you meditating. Because if you're meditating, you're not giving me, egocentric, karmic, conditioning, self-hate, all of your attention, and I really want all of your attention. So don't meditate. Let's talk about how you would not be able to survive in Syria. And you're catching on to it, which is great.
Well, it's not like that. It's also a deserving thing, you know. It's like, well, you have it fine. I don't know what it is, but I don't know how to express that part. But it is something about not deserving that peace or something.
Yes, absolutely. You don't deserve it. On the other hand, you have so much, and you're ungrateful.
That's it right there.
Yeah, whichever road you decide to take, that system is going to be there with a roadblock to try to stop you and engage you in some lame conversation. And so what you're catching on to is that fact. And that really is our choice. We can either engage in stupid conversations inside conditioned mind for the rest of our lives, or we can get here and actually live.
Yeah. Then that's, I think I get discouraged because of these, I've had these patterns for so long. They kicked into high gear when my marriage ended, but I feel like it's been long enough that that's not really what I'm dealing with anymore. It's it's just,
right.
it was always there anyway. It got
that's
worse
right.
because of that, but that's still what I have to deal with. And
that's exactly
I'm 58,
right.
And I feel like if I haven't done it now, there's, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Let me tell you about my favorite Zen person. His name was Joshu, and he awakened at age 80, and then he taught until he was 120. So
wow.
You have a ways. Yeah. He can be your role model too. He's mine, and so you've got a ways to go. And then the other expression that we have in practice is the person who awakens to her authentic nature in the morning does not mind dying in the afternoon. So it doesn't, there's no hurry.
Yeah, I realized that when I was meditating regularly, that what it was just like, I'm on the path. Everybody's on the path. You are where you are on the path, and it really doesn't matter where you are compared to where anybody else is. That's irrelevant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you do the morning show with us? Are you in the year-long retreat?
I wanted so badly to. It would have been very helpful, but I'm a school teacher, and I know would have needed the accountability of being able to actually call in. I wouldn't have been able
9
to.
9 o'clock.
I know myself. I would have dropped it without being able to participate in that piece.
Well, that's
I look forward to a time when I do a different job or have a different schedule.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're doing what you need to do, which is staying in touch. And, Kelsey, it's this way with everybody. It, honest to God, it is. People go along and they're fine. They're here. Their eyes are clear. They can see what's going on. And then they just step into a hole and everything goes dark. And, then at some point, boom, the lights come back on again. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Journal and stuff to, you know, see the pattern there a little bit.
Don't journal.
Okay.
Record and listen. Okay.
Well, I'm in a journal. It was really, it's more in terms of just tracking mood and what I'm doing so that I can sort of see when am I falling into the hole and can I get out faster.
Record and listen. It'll be the life changer. Just on your calendar, do little, little marks so you know. Here,
that's what I do. That's
here,
what I do
here,
in the journal.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
And, hummingbird flying into my room. So then, with that, the thing that we have to watch out for is when you're back, when the lights come on, don't entertain any conversations about what happened when you were gone or what that means or anything else. We just say, thank you, I'm here, I'm back. The lights are on.
Just
move on. Yep.
Okay. And it's not possible to join the morning retreat just for probably too late. I mean, because now that I'm out of school, I do have mornings, but.
Oh, no. And it's prorated. So, people can join at any time. And, so we're doing play this.
Oh, that sounds perfect. Okay. Well, I will an inquiry over there to how to sign up for that.
Absolutely.
Then. Okay.
And they're recorded. So as soon as you join, you have access to the ones that we've already gone through. And so that can give you something to do during your summer vacation. You can be catching up on all those other subjects and practicing
with
those.
That's excellent because being able to call in the morning should make a very big difference.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Good. Well, you are so welcome. All right.
And
talk
thank
you,
Michael.
Soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kelsey. This is a delightful show, Sherry, and I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
Oh, very good.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Elizabeth.
Well, hello, Elizabeth. How you doing?
Hey. I'm happy to be on this call.
Oh, good. I'm happy you're on this call, too. I'm happy I'm on this call.
Yeah, so I'm looking for some guidance on dealing with or transcending setbacks, or when I have setback workshops.
Kind of what we were just talking about with Kelsey. You're going along, everything is great, then suddenly you step into a dark hole and that kind
well,
of thing.
Well, the pattern is pretty specific. It's like it's either with usually my health or right now we're trying to rehab my pony who was injured. But something happens, there's a setback, and I don't know why it's happening or what it's happening or how it's happening. So I don't know how to fix it, and there's a lot of, like, I guess a sensation or a feeling of powerlessness. So that puts me, then I have the sensations of, like, it's this landscape of it's dark and it's forever, and the sensations of fear and despair.
Well, I would say that a lot of that is happening to you because it's true, in the sense that we don't know why things happen. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen next. We have no information about any of that. People make up stuff all the time, but that's all they're doing is making up stuff, right? So if I believe that I should know, that I should be able to control circumstances, that life should make sense to me, that it should go the way I expect it to go, then when it doesn't, which it won't, okay, then the result of that is going to be I'm going to be afraid, because it should be operating this way that I believe it should, and it's not. So I'm clearly out of control, and this is really dangerous. So the first thing we have to get is it's untrue that we can ever have any control over anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's never been popular. It's just never been popular. And it is true, nonetheless. And our life proves to us, everybody's life proves to us that that is the absolute truth. And ego is there just giving everything it's got to. No, you can make this the way you want it. If you were the right person, if you would just, then that would happen. And it's not, and it's your fault, and there's something wrong with you, and that's why it. So it's really important that we get it. That, no, we don't have any control over anything. And anything can and probably will happen. It's happening to somebody all the time. Everything that we could possibly imagine is happening to somebody all the time. Okay? However.
So it's like, uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Okay, so let's just say, you know, the truck breaks down, or it's like a cancer-related thing. Those are things like those don't fall into the same category, because like I know, you know that somebody can. There's nothing that can be wrong with your truck that some mechanic can't fix, and it's just, you know, a hassle. But or like cancer is like a known sort of thing. But when it's something that's completely unknown and, like, totally, like, more just, like, weird, like, WTF is going on, that is when I get into that. Or there's someone who gets into a landscape of darkness, and it's going to last forever because it's so unknown.
That's right. And that's the person who needs to not be in charge of how you view life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person is holding a belief system that is completely invalid. It's just not how it is.
Uh-huh. And their untrue reality belief system is that, if I understand you, is that, you know, one crazy setbacks, each one crazier than the last one, shouldn't be happening. If setbacks happen, they should be, like, within the realm of not crazy, but crazy setbacks keep happening.
Yes. Well, somebody identifies them as crazy. And somebody identifies them as setbacks. We could also call them life happening. They're called setbacks because there's a belief that I'm on this trajectory. I'm going in this direction, and this is what's going to happen. And it doesn't. And so when it doesn't go the way I'm told in my head it should go, that's called a setback rather than what it actually is, which is just what is, just what's happening right now.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what is the belief that plummets me and plummets someone into that, you know, it's this dark, scary, and it's going to be forever. It's like never, ever okay. going to be fixed.
That's right. And so you can see the torture in that, right? You can see how self-hate piles on that person. Right, first sets that person up to believe she can know how things are and that things should go in a certain way, and then when they don't, just throws her into and now it's going to be this way forever and it's hell and you're going to die. Okay, that's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, having a heyday. Okay, and so here's the way out, Elizabeth. Here's the way out. Here is the recipe for freedom, okay? And that is that you are in a relationship with her such that you are the one, the wisdom, love, and compassion that says to her, it's okay. I'm here with you. I love you. I love you. It's okay. It's okay. If this goes on forever, it doesn't matter because we're here together. And the only thing that matters is that we are here together.
I like that.
I love you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it has the merit of being true. We have no idea what's going to happen. But if we are in a relationship of unconditional love and acceptance as we go through whatever it is that we're going through, that's the best we can ever have. And we can have it in those, oh, my God, where did that come from? I can't believe that that's... And we can have that when this is the best day ever. We want to be in that same unconditionally loving relationship that causes our hearts to open and fill up with gratitude and loving kindness and generosity and all those things, whatever life brings.
Yeah, I can even see it going from that prey to pursuer place where it could be like, okay, let it happen together. We'll be together with it forever.
That's right. That's right. That's what we're going for.
And the focus is on us together.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you can include other people, right? You can include ponies and husbands and all kinds of people in unconditional love.
Yeah, unconditionally loving higher powers.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I just can't thank you enough.
You are so welcome. You take good care of her, okay?
All right. Thanks for the larger perspective.
You're very welcome, Elizabeth. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. And I think I can echo Elizabeth there, Sherry, and thank you for the larger perspective. So helpful. And I'm really grateful. It was a great show.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And
thank you.
We'll do this again, huh?
We'll do this again and go happy.
All right. Go happy. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. Good night.